Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Praise you, Jesus. Shande kundi ananamasate de de. Ete shakundi ananamakate de de. Shanda. Koria shande kohundi ananamakate de de. Sha. Indala sondi ananamakate de. Koria rarabashande bakandi ananamakonde de de de. Thank you, Jesus. Hearing the Lord say, be still. Not going to rush him. As we were worshiping, I saw the gates of heaven and the doors of heaven open. And I saw a table. And I saw all of us, a long oak brown table. I saw all of us sitting around the table. And I saw the Master Chef, the Holy Ghost, dressed in white, did you dine with him tonight? And I heard him speaking to each one. And he would go past each one and he'd lay his hand on your back. Just like that. I saw things leave. I saw heaviness leave. I heard the word attitude adjustment. I saw levels of increase being downloaded into people. And I heard the Lord say, come, dine, partake of the appetizer. Do you know your worship tonight was just the appetizer? Praise Jesus. Shandete, thank you, Lord. And now we get to dine on the meat. Yeah, right. Dessert. Oh, you can have the salad. I don't want the salad. You can have all salad. I'll take all the other stuff. So tonight we have Pastor Andrew speaking from the Refuge, right? The Refuge Church. Good friend. Very powerful ministry. Very powerful, anointed friend of ours. So, Pastor Andrew, I'm going to turn it over to you. I just pray over Pastor Andrew right now. I pray that the Lord would lead you, guide you in everything you say tonight, that it would be the Holy Ghost speaking through you. I bind any distraction on your people tonight, Father. I pray that their ears would be open, that they would receive what they have to download into them tonight, Father, that they would be forever changed. And I heard course trajectories tonight are going to be changed. Course trajectories tonight are going to be changed in lives. So open up your ears to listen. Praise God.
Wow, hallelujah. I feel like I need to just crawl down the steps tonight. It's like, come on down, really? Whoa, I'm just messed up right now. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh.
Ooh.
Whoa. Oh. Oh. Whoa. Oh, who said that? Oh, whew. Oh, who? Oh, 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 wow. Whew. Shiria Baba. There we go. Thank you, woman of God. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh. Oh, whew. More, Lord. More, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. How many know tonight it doesn't matter who I am? It matters that Jesus is here in this room. Hallelujah. And when the Holy Spirit's moving, woo, he could bring a little child up here to minister. Hallelujah. Shiria Baba, Kiria Baba, Shi. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Whoo. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, how many remember a song that we used to sing when we were younger? And it was just one word. It was hallelujah. You know, hallelujah is Hebrew, and it means praise the Lord. And as we were worshiping and praising the Lord tonight, I heard that song being sung by the angels in the background of the room. You know, we can be singing one song, but they're... Woo, hallelujah. But they're singing another. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord reminded me as we were praising and worshiping. And by the way, I came in tonight with 2 messages, 7 pages of notes, excited to deliver this word. And I walked in the room 1 step and the Holy Spirit said, put it away. Oh, hallelujah. Shiria Baba. Oh, he's got a manifest for us tonight. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know in heaven there is a worship service that's going on right now? And in that worship service, the service is like a river. And that river is just flowing. And that river has direction. It has boundaries. And all we have to do is jump into the river. Hallelujah. And in heaven right now, as the worship service is flowing like a river, there's not any segmentation that's going on. Everything just flows. And as the Spirit of God, like a holy orchestra leader, just begins to bring things in and release them into that worship service, there's just a flow and a holy continuity, and it's amazing in the Lord. And if we will just tune into what's going on in the third heaven, in the worship service of God, I am convinced we will be ruined for anything that we've ever known. The Lord, get used to this, because hallelujah, please deal with this, because man, the Holy Spirit is so here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. You know, if we don't have the presence of the Lord, we don't have anything. And if we don't have the presence of the Lord, we might as well just put Moose Club on the front of the place. Because, I mean, that's really all we're doing without His presence. That's why Moses said to the Lord, I'm not going to go unless your presence goes with me. Can I hear an amen? Amen? So in heaven, the worship service isn't segmented. There's a flow. As we emerge from COVID, I heard the Lord say recently, I am going to change what my church looks like. Mike Bickle prophesied out at IHOP about a decade ago. He said the Lord told him that he's going to change the expression of Christianity in one generation. And I declare we're that generation. I declare we're the generation that the Moses generation is passing the baton on to right now. And we're laying a hold of it and we're beginning to sprint. We've got to understand this. And God wants to set the church free from 3 songs and an offering, 2 songs, and a message that makes you feel good about yourself. And then you go home and you're home in time for the kickoff. The Lord says, I'm as tired of doing church that way as you are. And God is beginning to change what the church is going to look like. The Lord says when we emerge out of COVID, we're going to emerge out of disaster and into destiny, God says. You see, the Lord spoke to me at the beginning of COVID around March, and He said, Andrew, this is a dress rehearsal. That's all this is right now. It's a dress rehearsal. And I said, Lord, I need to hear more. Holy Spirit, this time is yours. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to me, He said, Andrew, a dress rehearsal goes on before the main act is going to be unveiled before everybody. And I said, whoa, okay. And I said, give me more, Lord. And the Lord said, this is dress rehearsal for the church. The Lord says, if we think COVID is something, the Lord says, just wait until we see some things that are going to happen in the world all around us. But the Lord says, He has intended for this time of COVID-19 for the church to go deep into the secret place. And for the church to emerge out after all this happens in deeper intimacy with Jesus, in a deeper relationship with Him, and in a greater understanding of our identity and what we're called to do in this generation. Hallelujah. But there is a spirit that's come in with COVID-19, and it's a spirit of fear. And I'm not saying tonight that COVID-19 isn't a reality and people haven't gotten sick and haven't died. I completely understand that. I get it. But the Lord said what the enemy has wanted to do is to give the church a COVID-19 personality of fear in the midst of all of this. Close your doors. Don't get together. Don't fellowship. Don't do this, that, or the other thing. And the Lord said, you can't put my church on hold. It's not going to happen. How many receive that in the Lord tonight? God says, I'm doing a new thing. And the Lord says, the end times church looks nothing like what the church looks like right now. It looks nothing like that. He said, right now, I am taking a sharp threshing sledge to the threshing floor, and I am separating the wheat from the chaff, and there's about to be a division between those who want to play church and those that want to be the church. And the Lord says, we've got to get a mentality that we don't go to church, we are the church. The church is not a building, we are the church. And we're to bring the atmosphere and activity of the throne room of God here to earth. Amen? We're to stand on the bridge of faith and lay hold of it and pull it in. The word in Hebrews talks about those who have tasted of the power of the age to come. How many know we can taste of the things that are yet to come? David did it. Hallelujah. He in the old covenant pressed into intimacy with God, and I believe he experienced intimacy with God like he would have if he was living in the days of the new covenant, and he wrote about it in the Psalms. Hallelujah. That's why the Psalms are so anointed. You receive that in the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hebrews talks about those that have tasted of the power of the age to come. God wants to give us a taste of what's about to happen, and He wants to ruin us with that taste. Oh, He says, taste and see that I am good. Knowing that all we need is one taste of Him and we're ruined forever. How many want to be ruined tonight? God said tonight, you came in one way, but you're going to leave another. Hallelujah. You receive that in the Lord. God is birthing tonight a holy vision of what it is He wants His church to be. And you are going to take tonight an impregnation with you of revelation that's going to change a generation. How many receive that in the Lord tonight? Woo, ha, woo. Shiria baba, kiria baba. The Lord says, in this season, I'm raising people up into their ministries. He says, it's time. He says, no longer can you say, well, when I get this right in my life, when this happens in my life, when I'm 30, when I'm 40, when I'm 50, the Lord says, you don't have time to make those excuses any longer. It's time for you to step into what God has for your life. He says, now is the time, because I'm hearing on both sides the words, He's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. And the Lord wants to give His church a sense of urgency that He's coming back soon, and it is crucial for you to step into the ministry that God has for you in this hour. Now, how many know your first ministry is to the Lord? Amen. He's your first ministry. And what God is beginning to do in the church, and you're going to see more and more of this, is God is going to begin tearing down ministries that are walking in yesterday's anointing. And what He's going to begin to do is raise up ministries that are cultivated in the secret place, in the quiet place, in the away place that He has kept hidden. And He is going to unveil those ministries, and they're going to be the most dynamic ministries in the earth in the end times. The Lord showed me a picture, and it was like an artist who was putting together a sculpture. And when the stone was first brought in, the granite, it was just a big block and everybody saw it. And then He pushed everybody out. And then He went to work. Hallelujah. And as He went to work, He took days, weeks, months. But then it was done and He had a cover over it. And then have everybody come in for a gathering to celebrate this sculpture, and at a certain point in the night, the artist is going to grab a hold of that cover and he's going to pull it off. And everybody is going to be so amazed. The Lord says, there's an unveiling coming in my church. There's an unveiling coming over the nation of Israel, an unveiling. And there's an unveiling coming over God's people here in the Gentile church. Can I hear an amen? You know, Michelangelo, they asked him after he created his famous sculpture, they said, how in the world did you have the vision to see a block of stone and to see this amazing sculpture coming out of it? And he said this, he said, it's easy. He said, the sculpture was already in it. All I did was just bring out what was already there. See, that's what God's going to do in you in this season. There are giftings and anointings that He put in you before you were ever born. We have got to realize we are a people of destiny. You are not here because your mom and dad had a candlelight dinner and a little bit of romance. Or maybe a whole lot of romance, you know. But anyway, it's a whole other message. But, hallelujah. The Lord wants you to know you're here because He planned you in this point in history. Doesn't the Word say that He knows the end from the beginning? Seems backwards, doesn't it? Shouldn't the Word say that He knows the beginning from the end? No. He sees the end from the beginning, meaning He sees you, the finished product, already. And what He's doing is He's orchestrating everything in your life to get you to the place that you're going to be what He sees you being at the end of this race. Everything that's going on, even the things that you don't understand, are designed to get you where He sees you going. So stay in your lane, trust the Lord, and know that He saves the best wine for last. Hallelujah. We've got to realize this in the Lord. And know that God put callings, giftings, and anointings in you before you were ever born that He's going to begin to uncover. And the Lord says, you're going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed. God's going to bring you into a new season. And it's like He's going to take that sheet and go, shoo, and just pull it right off you. And there's going to be a fresh level of anointing that you've never walked in before that starts flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit. God says, I want to set my church free from the spirit of fear and timidity. I want to set my church free from insecurity and inferiority. And I want my sons to rise up in this hour. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, by the way, ladies, sons is gender neutral. Hallelujah. And if you can be sons, men, we can be the bride. All right. So God in this hour is raising up sons who know who they are, who know their God, and they are going to do mighty exploits. And I declare over you tonight, you're a mighty exploit people. You are a mighty exploit people. You are a mighty exploit people. I'm going to say it until you believe it. You are a mighty exploit people. I can keep going. You're a mighty exploit people. Yes, And there are people in this room, and I could feel during praise and worship as the Holy Spirit was moving in the room. Very first song, boom! I'm like, how in the world is anybody going to preach tonight? I mean, wow, the presence of the Lord is so amazing. I mean, the Holy Spirit hit me at one point during praise and worship, and I just went boom, down to the ground like a weight was on my head. Huh. Do you know, in the Old Testament, when the word talks about the glory of God, the word that was used was kavod. And kavod literally means the weight of God. Not W-A-I-T, W-E-I-G-H-T, the very weight of God. We're about to see the glory of the Lord be pulled out on the church, be poured out on the church. I believe that. Holly and I were talking to one of our spiritual daughters at the kitchen table. By the way, this is my amazing wife, Holly, over here. Hallelujah. Three of our amazing kids, not all of them are here tonight. Hallelujah. But we were talking to one of our spiritual kids, and I brought up the glory, and she looked at me and she said, "What's the glory?" And I said, "Are you serious?" She said, "What's the glory?" And I said, "Oh, let's have a conversation." See, the Lord's about to pour out His glory upon the church. Why did Moses say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm not going to go unless your presence, glory of your presence and the presence of your glory. I'm not going to go unless your presence goes with." Why did Moses say that? Well, number one, he got ruined in the presence of the Lord up on the mountain. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And he got so caught up in the presence of God, he came down and his face glowed. How many know people in the church are about to have those types of encounters with God where the glory flows through them so mightily that they're going to walk in the church and folks are going to say, "Cover that up! We can't take it!" It's the glory. Oh, hallelujah. Why else did Moses want the glory of the Lord to go with him? Because they were going to be walking through all these nations' territories, all these nations who worship false gods, who couldn't hear, who couldn't speak, who couldn't do anything. And he wanted those nations to see that Israel had a living God that would manifest as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And as those nations watched Israel pass through, they saw the manifest presence of God. How many know they couldn't see the manifest presence of God and not be changed? And not realize something's going on in Israel that we don't have. And if we read the word, we understand even as Israel went through the wilderness, other people started joining them. Why did they join them? Because they saw the glory of the Lord. What's going to happen when the world sees the glory of the Lord manifesting through God's people? I don't think we understand this. I heard a quiet get wrecked in the front pew here. You're in spitting distance, by the way. I'm just going to let you know. If it hadn't happened already, it will happen. Hallelujah. All right. But we've got to... Thank you, Lord. All right, so we've got to understand this in the Lord. God wants to pour His glory out on the church and wants His people to walk in the manifest glory of God. You're going to come out of the secret place glowing with the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory. How many receive that? Amen? Anybody here ever heard of John Wimber? Okay, father of the Vineyard movement. You know, he's with the Lord now. But back in the day, he walked in such an anointing of the manifest presence of God that they said one time he was in an airport and there's a ticket line. This was pre-COVID, obviously. There's a ticket line, two lines together, going all the way down to the ticket booth and folks are getting their tickets. Right in the middle of him standing in line, he looks over and there's a woman over here standing right next to him, but she's standing like this. Literally, this is a true story. She's standing like this. So he looks at her and she looks at him and she realizes what's happening. And she's all of a sudden kind of startled. And she looks at him and he looks at her and he says, "You know what he says?" He says, "You know what that is?" She says, "No." He said, "Do you want it?" She said, "Yeah." He led her to the Lord in the ticket line. And she got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and delivered before she got her tickets. That's what happens in the manifest presence of God. Everything we need is found in the manifest presence of God. Everything. That's why we have to be a people of the presence. That's why God is taking this, please love me. That's why God is taking this sensitive model. Hallelujah. And He wants His people to be sensitive to His presence. He's looking for a people of the presence. You know, the Lord just spoke a moment ago about the baton being handed off from the Moses generation to the Joshua generation. God has been calling the Moses generation home. He has. You look at the men and women of God that have been called home in the last 10 years. It's been the rounding out of the Moses generation. But how many know Moses had a young apprentice? And his name was Joshua. And the two of them represent two different generations. Moses would go into the tent of meeting, and he would stay until he got the word of the Lord. And then he would go and deliver the word of the Lord to the people. But the word says Joshua was a man of a different spirit. He would stay in the tent of meeting until every bit of the presence of God was gone. Joshua represents what this new generation's going to look like. We've got to understand this. We need to be a people of the presence. He said, I'm not going to leave this tent until every bit of your presence is gone. But what about the people? How can I be what I'm supposed to be to the people if I don't minister to the Lord in the tent? If I don't walk in His presence in the tent? Is anybody catching this? Your ministry will be birthed as you linger in the presence in the tent. As you linger in the presence and play your guitar. As you linger in the presence and cry out to Him. As you linger in the presence, there's going to be an impregnation that's going to bring a revelation that's going to change a generation. We've got to understand that the greatest days of the church are yet ahead. They're not behind. And we've got to walk in the spirit of Issachar. We've got to understand the times and the seasons. And we've got to understand God birthed you in the most important time in church history for a reason. And it's not to sit on your blessed assurance. It's for you to emerge as who God called you to be in this hour. Some of you got that. If you didn't get it, talk to me afterwards. We'll fill you in on what that means. Here's the thing. God says, I've been calling the Moses generation home, and I'm passing on the baton to the Joshua generation. The Joshua generation is not defined by age. It's defined by heart. Which means if you hear Moses generation to Joshua generation, and you're going, oh, well, okay, I got snow on the mountain. Or I cover the snow on the mountain. Or there's a lack of snow on the mountain. God's going, uh-uh. No, you're not going to get off that easy. This generation is made up of folks from the youngest person in the room to the eldest in this room. And everybody in between. And if you're the eldest in the room, the Lord says the latter glory is going to be so much greater than the former glory. There's no retirement for you guys. God says, throw that thing out the window. Your retirement's called full-time ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. And in this hour, the spirit of intercession is crucial. Yes. Hallelujah. There is a strong intercessory anointing in the back of this room. And the Lord says, I have called you to be watchmen on the walls. If you won't, then I can't. I can't what? Then I can't do what I want to do in this generation if you will not bring forth the intercession, the harp and the bowl before my throne, the Lord says. One of the most unsung ministries in the end times church will be that of the intercessor. But yet the intercessors will be the ones when we stand before the Lord where the Lord says, do you remember when I said the first will be last and the last will be first? Lord, who is that person right up next to your throne? He'll say, they never wrote a book. They never pastored a church. They never had a big ministry. Very few people ever knew their name. But they had a place in their basement set apart for me where they prayed, and they wore holes in the cement praying. And because they were willing to pray, I birthed revivals through their prayers. Your ministry matters to the kingdom. And right now, one of the biggest lies that the enemy is speaking is your ministry doesn't matter. Your ministry matters. Spiritual father, spiritual mother, your ministry matters. When you are delivering that word that you saw of the table, and everybody's sitting around a table, I saw a marked increase in maturity, seasoning, and anointing on you since the last time I met you. You're going to be a spiritual father. You're going to be a spiritual mother, the Lord says. And God is going to give you an amazing ministry. When's your next mission trip planned? Y'all better set it. Y'all, have you ever read about Heidi Baker's ministry? The Lord says, read about Heidi Baker's ministry because I want to show you something. I'm not goofing around. The Lord's saying that. I want to show you something. And if the mountain won't move, you just pray and God will move the mountain. You know what I'm saying, woman of God? God will move the mountain. Even if the mountain's right next to you, God will move the mountain. You know what I'm saying? Do I need to get more blunt than that, or are we hitting the same wavelength in the Spirit here? Okay, hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? See, we've got to understand the Lord's coming back soon. So we can't make any more excuses. We've got to realize he's coming back quickly, and we're a generation of destiny. Let me say that again. We're a generation of destiny. Let me say that again. We're a generation of destiny. Amen? Anybody got their Bible with them tonight? Joel chapter 2. That's where when someone says Joel chapter 2, you go, woo! Can I hear an amen? Amen. Joel chapter 2, I want you to see something really quick in the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. God is saying, in this hour, I want my church to be a people of the Word. And he says, I want my church to be a people of the spirits. How many receive that in the Lord? In the area where my wife and I minister in the Lord, the Rockford, Illinois area, there was a charismatic Catholic revival that went on in the 1970s. Whoa. So all of a sudden, these Catholic folks start getting radically saved by having encounters with Jesus. Well, the diocese in the area did the right thing. They knew the group was growing and they needed to do something. So they gave the group their own building and their own spirit-filled saved priest. I kid you not. They said the power of God was moving so mightily in that group that there'd be nights they were praying together and the building literally shook. And that group is still together again. They're still together in the Rockford area. And many of them are saying, we're starting to feel him move again. Like the 1970s. Ha-ha. Is anybody getting excited? And that group had a little phrase. They said this, too much word and you dry up. Too much spirit and you blow up. Spirit and the word and you grow up. Oh, you can use that. You can use that. Isn't that good? See, that's what we need as the end times church. We need to be a people of the word because false teachers are coming in. False teachers are coming in. Right now, the gospel's being watered down. Right now, it's being taught in the church that at the great white throne judgment, Jesus is going to give everybody a free pass and welcome them in. Right now it's being taught from the pulpit that you can live any lifestyle that you want and still be acceptable to the Lord. You know what? The great end times revival is going to be characterized by three things in the Lord. Holiness, purity, and the fear of the Lord. And what God wants us to do, because there's so many false teachings already in the church and such a watered down gospel, is God wants us to know the Word. We have to be a people of the Word. 10 years ago, God came to me, and I was in the ministry full as a pastor, not full-time, but fully devoted to ministry. And the Lord came to me and said, Andrew, you don't want to stand before me not having my read my Word through cover to cover. Now, I'm not going to ask how many in the room have done this, but you'd be surprised how many people in the church haven't read the Word cover to cover. So I said, okay, what do you want me to do, God? He said, read through the Word cover to cover, but he said, don't do it in a year like the plans tell you. He said, digest my Word. So I took 3 years to read Genesis to Revelation, in between studying, preaching, messages, etc. At the end of that 3 years, I asked the Lord, I said, what do you want me to do now? He said, read through the Word again. Okay, that was 2.5 years. At the end of that, okay, what do you want me to do now? Read through the Word again. I'm at about just wrapped up Revelation last week, in the Hebrew interlinear Bible. Extremely cool, hallelujah, where you have the Hebrew text, you have the translation in English, and all the footnotes and everything right there. It was so cool. Then you get into the New Testament, and you have the Greek and Aramaic right there next to the Greek, next to the English text. It was so cool. So the Lord finally told me, he said, Andrew, just read through my Word cover to cover until I return. All right. And you know what I found? There are passages that I have not memorized that during a message the Holy Spirit will bring forth. See, the Holy Spirit can't bring out of you what's not inside of you. That's why we've got to be a people of the Word. But also in these deep encounters with the Lord in the secret place, we've got to understand that in those deep encounters, He's digging deeper and pouring more in. There's no shortcut for the ministry God has for you. The Lord says, this is the hour of the wise virgins. And we've got to cultivate that oil of intimacy. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Joel chapter 2:28. Joel is prophesying in the Spirit of the Lord. And he says, and afterwards. Somebody say, and afterwards. Do you know what he's talking about? He's not talking about what Peter was talking about when Peter stood on the roof the day of Pentecost and said, what's happening right now is what the prophet Joel prophesied. That wasn't the end afterwards Joel was talking about. The end afterwards that Joel was talking about was the restoration of Israel. The restoration of Israel. And afterwards. If we study the book of Joel, chapter 1 is all about destruction. And I will send in the locusts, the great locusts, the small locusts, the big locusts, the medium locusts, and they will eat everything. Destruction. How many are glad Joel is not a one-chapter book? That'd be a pretty sad ending, right? Joel chapter 2 is all about restoration. Joel chapter 3 is all about revival. That's a pattern of the Lord. Destruction that causes people to repent and cry out, then restoration and revival. America's at a place right now where we better fall on our knees and start repenting and crying out for the Lord. Because that will bring restoration and revival. But there's a hardness in America right now. There's a fear in America right now. God says, I'm greater. He says, I'm greater. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So Joel says this, he says, and afterward. What's the afterward, Joel? The restoration of Israel. I'm going to pour out my Spirit on a few people. Is that what your word says? If you don't know the word, you don't know that I didn't misquote it. We got to know the word. He says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on what? All people. Aren't you glad he's only talking about saved folks there? That's a saved all, right? Wrong. What God is saying is after the restoration of Israel, I'm going to begin pouring out my Spirit on people who have never called on me before. I'm going to begin pouring out my Spirit on people who aren't even seeking after me. I'm going to begin pouring my Spirit out. Then what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be like John Wimber and come right in after that and say, do you know what that was? What a gospel. Do you know what that was? No. Do you want it? Yes. Hallelujah. That's a gospel. See, when we get people in the presence of the Lord, we came from the presence of the Lord. I'm at home in the presence of the Lord. And if we can get people in the presence of the Lord does the work. Amen? So he's going to start pouring out himself. I mean, I see pride parades where the presence of the Lord starts falling. Does that mess with your theology? I hope it does. Because Jesus is going to mess with a lot of people's theology in the end times. And if we're not careful, we don't know the word, people are going to get offended with him and say, that's not my Jesus. But what did he say? I mean, he was with the disciples one time and he looked at me, looked at them and said, blessed is the man who is not offended on account of me. You're going to get a lot of opportunity to be offended if you're going to walk in the ministry God's called you to. You're going to have the opportunity to be offended at people. Ministry would be real easy without people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
All right. During the day, I work in human resources for a manufacturing company in Rockford. Human resources would be very easy without the human resource. You know what I'm saying? It'd be a piece of cake. But how many know the same element that can cause the frustration and the offense is also one of the most greatest opportunities? Hallelujah. For joy and encounter and powerful things to happen. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So Joel says, God's not going to discriminate. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. That's going to bring a harvest. And he promises, he says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Let's stop right there. We've got to understand when Joel prophesies this, this is countercultural because women didn't prophesy. Or if they did, they had a covering over their head in church, and the men wished they weren't prophesying. That's the way this worked, right? But notice what he says. The Lord says, there's no discrimination here with me. I don't limit you based upon gender. Are you willing? And for those that are willing, he says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men, hallelujah, will dream dreams. I'm middle-aged, so I'm believing for dreams and visions. Is anybody with me? I'm like in the middle place there, God. I'll take them both. Hallelujah. Woo! Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. All right. Let's get excited about the Lord tonight. He says, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. He's talking about after the restoration of Israel. Does anybody remember a lady, kind of an odd lady, unique, maybe only one person in the world is going to remember her? Catherine Coleman. Oh. If you've never seen her, jump on YouTube and YouTube her, young folks. I mean, she would come out in her little pirate's dresses, and she'd just kind of flitter, and she'd say, the Lord. She made Lord a three-syllable word. Lord, the Lord wanted to give this anointing to a man. She'd literally say this. But no man wanted it, so he gave it to me. Hi. Hallelujah. That's what she'd do. And she walked in anointing like we haven't seen in generations. File that thought away for just a nanosecond in the Lord, all right? So he says, even on my servants, both men and women, I'm going to pour out my spirit in those days. I'm going to show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Didn't we have blood moons fairly recently? Anybody watch the moon coming in tonight? Huh. Man, I just watched that moon and I went, Bo Yeshua Bo. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Hallelujah. And he says, this is going to happen before the coming of the great and terrible or dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You are going to walk in an evangelist anointing even if you've never led anyone to the Lord up to this point, because it's going to be like shooting fish in a barrel. You know what I'm saying? All right. That's the Missouri heritage of me coming out there. All right. So before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And from on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance. For the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. That ties right back into and afterwards. One of the most prophetic, significant happenings in the last 1,000 years has been Israel becoming a nation again. See, we've got to understand that. That was the beginning of Joel's and afterwards. But it's a six-step process. We've got to understand this as God's people. There is no nation under the earth that's ever come back together again to be a nation after being scattered more than 200 years. How long was Israel scattered to the four winds? All of a sudden, Israel comes together with the aid of an American president. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Israel becomes a nation once again. Can a nation be born in a day? Yes! He was talking about Israel. Out of nowhere, Israel becomes a nation again. Papa's end times time clock. Tick, 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 tick. Began moving. We've got to understand that. Many in this room are not around in 1948. That's okay. Hallelujah. Some are going, absolutely, I know what you're talking about. Here's the thing. The Lord said to Israel, I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. Do you know what happened in 1948 in America? 3 months after we helped Israel become a nation, there was an explosion of ministries that started in America, including the ministry of William H. Branham. 3 months after we helped Israel become a nation. William H. Branham, they said when he had such a powerful prophetic ministry that when he got up to minister, they'd see an angel manifesting behind him with a halo of fire. He would go up to people. He could tell them their name, their address, their birthday, what they needed healing of in their body, and then release that healing anointing over them. And he ministered all over the world. He was ministering one time in America. And it was back in the day of prayer lines. So they had the regular service. At the end of the service, you get a prayer card. You fill out your prayer card. You get in line to get prayed over by the man of God. There were 200 people in the prayer line where William H. Branham was ministering. 15th in the prayer line was a gentleman who was a reporter who wanted to write a nasty article about Branham. So in his prayer card, he wrote a false name, false address, false birthday, false sickness. He gets up to Branham, shows him the card. I heard the Lord say not long ago, I'm going to restore the fear of the Lord back to my church. He says, I will bring back the day of Ananias and Sapphira if I have to. So William H. Branham looks at the card, looks at the man, looks at the card, looks at the man, looks at the card. Says, well, sir, in prophetic boldness and certainty. He said, on your card you say that this is your name, but let me tell you what your name is. And he says the guy's real name. He says, on your card, you say, this is your address, but this is really your address, and he tells him. You say, this is your birthday, but it's really not your birthday. This is what your birthday is, and he tells him. And he says, on your card, you say you need healing from leukemia. Sir, the Holy Spirit says you don't have leukemia, but because you came and tried to trick the man of God, you're going to have leukemia before you leave the building. ...185 people behind in the prayer line. Boom! Gone! See, that's what happens when the true prophetic begins to flow. You can't hide. You can't play. You can't get away with things. Same thing, he was ministering in another church, big prayer line. Woman comes up to him, hands him a prayer card. She's crying. He's looking at it and finally says, woman, stop crying. I mean, he was strong with her. Woman, stop crying. So she cleans herself up and looks up at him and says, well, on your card, you say, and he's on a microphone here and just putting this out there. On your card, you said, pray for my husband. He's having an affair. He said, ma'am, that woman or that man and his redheaded secretary that he's having an affair with, who's in a motel right around the corner from here, will be dead in 2 weeks. Stop praying for him. All the people in the prayer line behind. Her husband and the secretary died within 2 weeks. See, when God wants to do something, he gets very serious. And he's getting very serious about what's going on in the church right now. And the fear of the Lord is going to come back to the church. Now, I'm not talking about being afraid of God. I'm not talking an unhealthy relationship with God. What I'm talking about here is a healthy fear of the Lord that causes us to say, you know, I could do this thing, and the grace of God would cover it, but I love Jesus so much, I'm not going to do it. See, grace is not God looking at man and going, they're such a mess, they're never going to be able to figure this thing out, and waving his arms. That's not what grace is. Grace is God looking at the mess that mankind is and rolling up his sleeves and saying, let's go to work. Grace is the power to overcome. It's not the excuse for sin. And God is cleaning up his bride. He wants her to be without spot and without wrinkle. Can I hear an amen? 1948, Israel becomes a nation. Mighty release of prophetic ministries in America 3 months later. You ready for this? Everybody at that point said, okay, we'll give that to Israel. But they aren't in control of Jerusalem until Arab nations surround Jerusalem in 1968 and have the firepower to blow Israel out of the water. That's the Six-Day War. Israel wins out of nowhere, and they gain control of Jerusalem. Uh-oh. Isn't it interesting that President Trump moved the capital, or moved our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and some other nations quietly followed? That was prophetic, and that was huge. But what did Jesus say in his earthly ministry? People say, no, don't do it. He'd say, this has to happen so that the scripture can be fulfilled. Everything that's been prophesied must be prophesied. Must be fulfilled. Can I hear an amen? Actually, it was 1967. I apologize. 1967, Israel gets control of Jerusalem. There was a wall that divided Jerusalem just like that there was in Berlin. They tore it down. God's tearing down the walls. Guess whose ministry was birthed in 1967? Catherine Coleman. See, every time we blessed Israel, there's been a major movement in America. Every time we've talked Israel out of giving up some of her land, there's been a natural disaster, including the great flood in Louisiana. Isn't that interesting? That's two of the six things that needed to take place for Israel to become a nation again. Somebody say amen. Amen. Six things that need to happen for Israel to be restored. 1989, you know what started happening? Jews from Russia, the Ukraine, and other nations in that area started feeling a tug on their heart, whether they were messianic or not, to come back to Israel and settle there, whether they'd ever been there or not. That was the third step in the restoration of Israel. 1989. How many are enjoying this in the Lord? Hallelujah. The latter rains started falling in Israel in 1992. Okay, we're four deep. Isaiah 27 says the desert will blossom like a rose. In the year 2000, because of the latter rains, they started planting in the deserts in Israel, and they are producing produce that is not only being sold in Israel, but around the world. Israel is beginning to feed the nations. That's 2000, the year 2000. That's five out of the six. Do you know what the sixth is? Gog and Magog. You know what that means? The time is short. Because the nations will surround Jerusalem again. So that means the Lord's coming back soon. That's why I wanted to go through that with this group for us to. It's one thing to say it, but let's talk about what's going on prophetically and see how that's being fulfilled around us. It's going on in the nation of Israel right now. Soon, hallelujah, there is going to be an unveiling of the nation of Israel. The veil will be taken off of her eyes, and Zechariah 12:10 is going to be fulfilled. What's Zechariah 12:10? And they will look upon him whom they pierced, and they will recognize him. And they will long for him as one longs for an only son. We are coming to the end of the age of the Gentiles, and we're about to see revival in the nation of Israel. Does that mean we're done as Gentile believers? No. There's a passing on of the prophetic torch. We've got to understand that. Does that mean America's done? Gentile church is done? Absolutely not. It's just getting to the exciting stuff now. Why do you think the enemy's fighting you so hard? Oh, I don't think you heard that. Why do you think the enemy's fighting you so hard? Trying to tear everything down. Trying to get you to believe God doesn't have a ministry for you. Why is that happening? Trying to destroy your finances. Going after your kids. Going after your grandkids. Why is all this stuff happening? Because the enemy is scared of your ministry. First of all, to Jesus, then to his people. He's scared of your ministry. Does that make sense, anybody in this room? God says it's time to arise and shine. For the glory of the Lord shines round about you. It's time to become the people he's called us to be. God says 2021 is going to be a year of breakthrough and destiny for his people. Let me say it again. 2021, you're getting it. It's going to be a year breakthrough and destiny for God's people. She's like, stop yelling at me, please. Oh, she likes it. She likes it. Hallelujah. There we go. She's in the spitting zone. All right. Hallelujah. She's like, I like it. I can't see anymore. Anyway, see, what we've got to realize is God takes chaos and brings order out of it. That's who he is. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, the law of first mention. God takes chaos and nothingness. He speaks to that which is not as if it is, and it becomes what he says. He's doing that in your life right now. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, I'm not bold enough. I'm going to speak to that which is not as if it is, and it will become. He says, Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one pursue them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Ah! Do you need to do that again, or did you get it? Did you expect it? Did I catch you by surprise? Hallelujah. A couple of folks are here from the Refuge. They're going, yeah, I've seen that one before. Here's the thing. When we roar, the second heaven shakes. When we intercede, we shoot arrows through the second heaven. They go up to the throne of God, and he dips the tip in the fire of his altar and sends it back down, ripping through the second heaven and striking the targets on her. Multicultural. God says multicultural. I have a multicultural ministry for you. I came to this place. I was the only black person in the room, but the presence of God was there, and it was good. God says, get used to it. He said, you have a multicultural ministry. And God says, I'm going to send you to places that are going to stretch you and grow you. But God says there is treasure he put inside of you before you were ever born. Can I be blatantly honest with you? The enemy has tried to destroy the African-American community in America. Do you know the community with the number one abortion rate in America is the African-American community? See, that's the enemy trying to destroy a very valuable people within our nation. Why is the enemy targeting the African-American community so fiercely? Because he knows God wants to birth revival through the African-American community. Let's call it for what it is. Okay? And I'm not going to be afraid with everything that's going on to call it like it is, because that's why I hear the Holy Spirit saying. The enemy is scared of what God's going to bring through the African-American community. That's why the enemy has tried to get the African-American community to shoot themselves, to shoot and kill themselves, to abort the children. He's brought in fatherlessness. I mean, anything that he can do to try to destroy the African-American community, he says, the enemy's tried to do it. But what God is doing right now is He's giving people in the African American community a vision. And He's saying, you will be a torchbearer for me. I will bring fire through you. You will be a mother to the motherless. A father, whoa, did you feel that? Woo! Hallelujah! A father to the fatherless, and I'm going to bring my glory through you. There was a woman that they called Moses, and God used her to go and get the slaves after she was freed from slavery. She risked her life to bring the slaves to freedom. God says, I've put that anointing on you. God says, you're going to go to people that no one wants, no one cares about, no one thinks has any value and worth, and you're going to grab them from the gates of hell, and you're going to bring them into my kingdom. I speak a powerful fire anointing over you right now. Hey, hey, hey! In the name of Jesus. Whew. Did you feel that? Did you feel the whew, across the room? Oh. Whew. Oh, hallelujah. This is better than Amway, isn't it? Whew. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. You want to know the funny thing? I grew up Baptist. I'm licensed and ordained Baptist. Hallelujah. But had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit that ended my time in the Baptist church. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, bless Jesus. Are we okay with time? Yeah. Anybody see this? Okay. Hallelujah. The Lord says, I have put an anointing inside of you that is very deep. He says, still waters run deep. There's a depth in here that God wants to use. There's wisdom in you. There's an anointing to father the fatherless in you. There is a strength in you. The Lord says, you've never felt like you had much to offer. The Lord says, I have put so much inside of you. You have no idea how much I've put in you. But the Lord says, I've kept you hidden for decades. You've had a very quiet ministry, the Lord says, for decades to Him. Now the Lord says, I'm bringing an unveiling. I declare over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, these hands are going to heal the sick. They're going to raise the dead, and they're going to cast out demons. And I declare a spirit of boldness over you in the name of Jesus. And you're going to minister on street corners. You're going to go after the lost. And you are not going to be ashamed to go to places where other people won't go. God says, can I give you my heart for the ones that nobody else wants? Okay, Lord. Lord, you heard it. Lord Jesus, I ask that you will give this man your heart for the forsaken, the downtrodden, the rejected, the fatherless, those that no one else would want in their church or on their ministry teams. God, give him a heart for those folks, and may he and this woman of God raise up sons and daughters for you. God, give them a ministry greater than Heidi Baker in the trash dumps. Wow. Opposites attract, don't they, woman of God? I don't even know you, but opposites attract, the Lord just said. Hallelujah. But you're going to be amazed at His mouth opening up and the anointed words that are going to come forth from His mouth. Don't be afraid to let Him lead. Because you're going to see things in Him you've never seen before. But you're going to see things coming forth from you that you've never seen before either. So Lord, I just bless this ministry couple. I speak your fire over them, God. God, I ask that you would release your power. And woo! In these two, Lord. Yes! And lo, woo! Hallelujah. Fire! Oh, Lord, I ask that your fire would come upon them. Oh, Lord, I just ask that you'd fill these two with the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation, with the Spirit of counsel, might, and knowledge. May the sevenfold Spirit of God be upon you. Hallelujah. Woo! And may you be like menorahs for the King. Woo! Hallelujah. Ooh. Oh, glory. Did you feel those like shockwaves in the Spirit? Yes! Well, now that you were speaking over me, fire! Fire! God, I ask that you give this man the ninth note. God, I ask that you would give him chords that have never been played on musical instruments, this side of David in the shepherd's field, and this side of the third heaven. Lord, I ask that he would hear the worship of heaven and bring it to earth.
Yes, Lord.
And I speak, God is opening up a ministry of praise and worship. He is birthing it right now. Fire! Lord, I ask God that he will hear the music of heaven and release it on earth. Yes. Hey, I think the Lord's here tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Woman of God, you know what I hear the Lord saying? I use the weak things of the world to confound the strong. The simple things to confound the wise. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. The Lord says, you've known rejection. You've known what it's like to be misunderstood. You've known what it's like to not fit in. But the Lord says, your uniqueness that people even in the church have not understood is simply a reflection of the unique ministry that I have for you. And the Lord says, as I begin to use you in that ministry, your eyes will open and you will see that I work all things together for good for those who love me and are called according to my purpose. And I hear the Lord call you beautiful daughter. Beautiful daughter. I speak the healing balm of Gilead of the Lord Jesus over the deep wounded gorges in your soul. And I declare God is healing and restoring you tonight, and that God is going to use you in ways beyond what your eye has seen, ear has heard, or mind imagined. And I hear the Lord say for you, woman of God, 2021 is a Jeremiah 33:3 year for you. Call upon me, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know. You matter for the kingdom. And God's heart is for you. He says, I'm close to those who mourn. And I don't know what it is. He's not telling me, and it's none of my business. But he wants you to know that he knows. And he wants you to know that he's bringing healing. Can you stand up for a moment, please? Okay. I'm safe, okay?
I kind of figured I'm in the front row.
Okay, come here. Lord, I ask that you would release the Father's love over her broken heart, over her broken soul. God, I ask that you would release the Father's love. God, I know that you know that through hurt and pain and trauma, sometimes we can feel like that we're little kids living in adult bodies. God, I ask that you'd bring healing, that you'd bring restoration, that you'd bring life. I just declare over you right now in the name of Jesus, you're entering into a season of restoration. You're entering into a season of healing, and you're entering into a season where God's going to show you that you're a woman without limitation, and he's going to use you to build a church without walls. Your ministry matters to the kingdom. And the Lord says, all these things that you have experienced along the way that have hurt, that have wounded, that have been so painful, I was teaching you the fellowship of my suffering. But now you're going to know the power of my resurrection. So rise forth, my daughter, in everything I've called you to. I like you. You're awesome. You're a keeper.
So my whole chest and back got like hot. Hot.
Lord, release your fire. Lord, release your fire. Lord, release your fire. And Lord, heal trauma and bring restoration. The Lord says, you're not an orphan. You're a daughter. You're not an orphan. You're a daughter. There are people in this room. Ooh, you stay in the midst of whatever he's doing, woman of God. There are people in this room that are one God decision away from a shifting in your life that's going to change everything. And that God decision is simply a yes! The champions for the Lord, the dread champions in the end times, one of the things that's going to set them apart from those that are just walking out in an average Christianity is that whenever God comes to them and asks a question, they say yes. And they let their yes be yes and their no be no, no matter what their yes costs them. And the Lord says, this will cost you. He says, I am the pearl of great price. This will cost you. Fire of God. Fire. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord says, this will cost you. But how many know he's worth it? Ooh, hallelujah. Shiria Baba. Oh, this is good stuff. I'm just going to sit down. God, the Holy Spirit is just ministering. Isn't this so good? When you watch Catherine Coleman minister, that's what she did. She just said, hey, the Lord's healing somebody over here. God's restoring somebody over here. Do you know by the end of her ministry, they would put dead bodies in the basements of the buildings where she was going to minister and not even tell her? And because of the supernatural anointing of God that flowed through her, by the end of the service, those bodies would spring back to life. They said in the height of her ministry to the Lord, the manifest presence of God was so strong on her, her staff knew not to get within 20 feet of her when she was ministering. Because you breached that circle, bam, you were just out in the Lord. So they learned. They just kind of walked around the circle when she was ministering. Multicultural ministry. Whoa. Ooh. Lord, I ask that you would release a multicultural fire within her. God, I ask that you would hit her so hard tonight that she won't know what time zone she's in. Lord, I ask that you'd break every generational curse, that you'd break every bondage going all the way back to Adam and Eve. And Lord, I ask that you'd fill her with the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom and revelation, counsel, might, and knowledge. Fill her with your Ischus power, your Dunamos power, your Kratos power, your Exousia authority. And I speak the ridiculous favor of the Lord over you right now like a shield. And I declare he's going to give you provision for the vision all along the way. I speak the prosperity of the Lord is upon you. All generational poverty is broken off through the blood of Jesus. And I speak the wealth of the Lord upon you right now. More, 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 Lord! More, Lord. Some folks need to laugh tonight. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Oh, God, give them more. Give them more. Give them more. Glory! Glory! Woo! Oh, this one's fun. Lord, we release the fire of your glory and the glory of your fire in this place. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Lord. And I speak an anointing over you to speak multiple languages in the name of Jesus. You will step foot into a people group and you'll be able to speak their language in the name of Jesus, just like the angels can. Glory! Ooh. Oh. If we don't have the presence of the Lord, we don't have anything. The Lord says, no longer can we have a church service that's just rough and difficult, and we go, well, next week will be better, and then we just leave. God says, no, stand and fight. We were in service last Sunday morning at a church. Right in the middle of praise and worship, a water main broke in the next room over from our sanctuary. We just shut off the water and kept worshiping. We called it an outpouring. Hallelujah! Glory. God, give her more. Give her more. See, the devil wanted us to just go, oh, that's the end of service today. See, and when he figures out what works, then he just keeps doing it. Come on. Come on. Let's not give him that opportunity. Lord, I just speak your strength upon this woman of God. Ooh, it's getting warm in here. Lord, I speak a release of your glory over her. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I ask that you'll do whatever you need to do to her so that you can work through her. And Lord, I ask in this new year, may this be a year. Ooh, I saw dreams and visions. I speak dreams and visions upon you in the year 2021. And I speak the life of the Lord over you. I declare you're going to laugh in this upcoming year at things that have made you cry. And I declare you're going to dance over things that have broken your heart. And I declare it's going to be a whole new year for you of restoration and glory. Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord. He has a powerful ministry for you too. That's why he's fought. That's why the enemy has fought you so hard. He has a powerful ministry for you guys. Your most important ministry is to him. Your second most important is to your children. And those children are going to be an army that you guys are raising up. But I see you ministering to crowds of people in healing and in deliverance and in restoration. And I see you doing the same. And I hear spiritual father and spiritual mother for you too also. Isn't it interesting that God would call you a spiritual mother when you feel at times like you failed as a mom? See, that's who our God is. And things that we think on the earth that are a failure, in the kingdom, he says they're a success. Because he sees things differently than we do. Does anybody get that tonight? He sees things differently. The world needs the ministry that God put inside of you. You're not beaten down and you're not downtrodden, and the day is coming where you're not going to have to stretch paycheck to paycheck. God says provision is coming for the vision. God says it's coming. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. God has more for you. Lord Jesus, you're the God of the open door, and I ask that you'd open up doors for these two that no one can close, and that you'd close doors that need to be closed so that no one can open them. Lord, I ask that every one of their kids would be radically saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and would serve you, God. Lord, may they raise up in their home apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And Lord, may these hands heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. I speak life to the dreams that you thought God gave you that have died. He, like Lazarus, is calling dead dreams back to life and saying, take off the grave clothes. And I declare God's taken the grave clothes off of you guys. The enemy put them on prematurely. And you guys are going to walk in everything God's called you to. And I pull the knives out of your back that have been put there even by those that say they're God's people. Lord Jesus, I ask for people in this room that have knives in their backs right now. Lord, that you would pull them out. Lord, I ask that you would pull them out supernaturally and put the balm of Gilead over the wounds. And Lord, I ask that you would not let anyone's love in this room grow cold. Lord, not towards you or towards the people you've called them to minister to. Lord, I ask right now, God, that you would bring a healing over this room to anyone that's been hurt by churches, to anyone that's been hurt by ministries, to anyone that's been hurt by pastors and ministry teams. Hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I just apologize to anyone in this room that's been hurt by a pastor, a ministry team, a church. Those folks may never come to you and say, I'm sorry, but I stand in for them right now, and I just ask for your forgiveness for what happened. And Lord, I pray as people around the room receive that, may your healing come. Lord, I ask that you would break off unforgiveness. Lord, I ask that you would break off woundedness and oppression and depression off of this group. Lord, I ask that you would tear down every stronghold that the enemy has tried to establish to hinder this group. Lord Jesus, I plead your blood over every marriage in this room. Whether spouses in this room or not, I plead the blood of Jesus over these marriages, and I declare that your marriage will live and not die, and it will declare the works of the Lord. I declare healing over wounded marriages and broken marriages in this room right now. I curse the spirit of divorce in the name of Jesus, and I declare your marriage is going to become the marriage you've always dreamed of in the name of Jesus. And I declare over our precious single folks in the room that your marriage to the Lord is about to become better than it's ever been before. Oh, I declare over you in the name of Jesus, you are wise virgins. You are cultivating the oil of intimacy, and you're ready for the bridegroom to return. I declare over you that 2021 is your year of breakthrough. You're going to go from disaster to destiny. You're going to go from disarray to destiny. I declare this is your year of stepping up, stepping out, stepping forward, and moving into what God's called you to. I declare over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth that every word cursed that's ever been spoken against you is broken through the blood of Jesus. I declare every bitter root judgment that followed your family line is broken in Jesus' name. I declare for anyone in this room that had ancestors that were in the Masons or the Daughters of the Eastern Star or other hidden occultic organizations, I declare every oath that they took that affected the family line is now broken off of you in the name of Jesus. And I declare that anyone that has a family line that includes folks that were in the witchcraft, sorcery, divination, black magic, I declare that is now pulled from the family line in the name of Jesus. Jesus became the curse for you, so you no longer have to live under the curse. Repeat it after me. Say, Jesus became the curse for me, so I no longer have to live under the curse. I choose this moment to live under the blessing of Jesus and renounce the curse of the enemy. And I declare over you in the name of Jesus that the family blessing is now beginning with you. Hallelujah. And that the Lord is going to invade your family line through you. I declare over you, you're coming to the greatest days of your life in the Lord, the greatest ministry that He has for you. I declare the spirit of breakthrough over you. I declare that God is assigning an anointing of acceleration over your life in ministry. And I declare right now that you will walk as the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. That when the enemy comes against you one way, he'll flee seven different ways. And Lord Jesus, I just declare the Lord Jesus is releasing His blessing over you right now. I speak shalom over you. I speak, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn His countenance towards you and fill you with shalom peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Lord, I bless this group tonight. Lord, I thank you that you took a night where I had two messages, seven pages of notes, and a whole lot of good intention, and you blew it out of the water in the first praise and worship song. Holy Spirit, we just say thank you. It was a lot better your way. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you tonight that there's not a seed that you've planted that will not root deeply below and bear fruit above in this group. Lord, I thank you that there's not a curse that you've broken that's going to come back. Lord, I declare there's not a word that you've spoken that will return to you void. Lord, it will accomplish its purpose. So, Lord, I just bless this group tonight. Lord, I seal everything that you did tonight in your blood. I declare the birds of the air aren't going to be able to pluck it away. Lord, I declare, God, the enemy's not going to be able to get to it. But, Lord, it will all come to fruition that you have released tonight in this room and that folks are going to hear if this goes to CD or broadcast. Lord, may that same anointing come upon them right now. And, Lord, tonight we just say thank you. Lord, I thank you that the hungry come out on Wednesday nights. Lord, I thank you for the hunger that was in this room that brought a draw onto the spirit realm and a release. Lord, I thank you that I've seen things in this room tonight that I haven't seen for a long time. And Lord, I thank you, this is just the beginning. Lord, as I heard you sing once, we've only just begun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you are the one who saves the best wine for last. Lord, I pray, God, that you would turn our wine into praises. Hallelujah. Lord, that you would bring your glory forth through your servants. Lord, tonight we say thank you for the cross. Jesus, your shed blood, we thank you that you finished the work, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you came as Jesus ascended. Thank you for your presence, your anointing in this room tonight. Holy Spirit, it's all you. Anything good tonight was you. And Father God, I thank you for your love that in unity that's upon this room right now. Lord, tonight we ask that you would also bless Holly and Lori. Lord, as they're out ministering, Lord, tonight I only preach from a foundation that they have built. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you'll bless this ministry. Lord, I ask that Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide will go worldwide. Amen. God, I ask that you'd begin to open up doors for Holly and Lori to minister all over the world. And Lord God, I thank you that you're using them to take what you began with Edgar. And they're taking it to a whole nother level in you, Lord God. Lord, we speak divine health over Holly and Lori. We declare that they will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. We speak financial blessing over this ministry. We speak provision for the vision. And God, we ask that you would put that same anointing that was on Moses that caused him to be able to fight and function like a young man, even in his old age. May you put that same anointing on Holly and Lori. God, may you just expand the tent pegs of this ministry. Lord, tonight we bless this ministry that's been such a blessing to us. And we bless the two apostles. Lord, I declare that tonight, the two apostles that heads ministry, Holly and Lori, we just bless them tonight. And Jesus, we pray this now in your precious name. Lord, give them discernment, give them wisdom beyond their own. Fill them with the sevenfold Spirit of God, with the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Spirit of counsel, might, and knowledge. Lord, fill them with your ischus power, your dunamos power, your kratos power, your excusia authority, and ridiculous favor. Ah! Lord, we just bless them tonight. Lord, I bless this group. Lord, may this group now go out with joy and be led forth with peace. May the mountains and the hills break forth before them, and may the trees of the field clap their hands. Lord, I speak safe passage home tonight. I speak blessing. I speak increase over them. And I speak, Lord God, that they will continue to cultivate the oil of intimacy with you. Oh, wise virgins, in Jesus' name, Lord, we give you the glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. We had fun tonight in the Lord, didn't we? Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks for the privilege of getting to come tonight. I love this group. Hey, hallelujah. I love it when we're together on nights like this. I love it when we're together in Colorado. And I'm looking forward to more things that God's going to do. Amen. Amen.
You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.